Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Get up-to-the-minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis from some of the biggest names in Westminster.
Order!
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We are live from College Green in Westminster, where one MP with a criminal record has managed to change the course of Brexit. Not that we're going to focus massively on that. It is pouring down with rain here. We've got all sorts of MPs lined up to talk to you this afternoon and this morning as well. There is a sense of calm before the storm, as MPs have all been given permission to pursue constituency business, while Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn dance around together in a room desperately trying not to agree on anything. After all of yesterday's shenanigans, we are no closer to a deal than we ever were. And perversely, after MPs voted by a majority of one to outlaw a no-deal Brexit, we are apparently closer than ever to having that happen by accident. Who knew? Coming up today, we'll be charting all the various different horse trading deals being done behind the scenes, because despite being told to start compromising and finding a consensus, there's still plenty of recalcitrant MPs not willing to do what it is that we want them to do. What exactly went wrong with our political system, and when did our elected representatives start believing they didn't have to answer to anyone? 0344 499 1000. We'll be hearing plenty of opinions today, but as ever, we want yours above all others, because you provide the common sense on this show. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio, live from College Green in the most historic week in politics since last week.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Now, there was quite a lot of action in Parliament last night, despite the fact that Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn did have talks, despite the fact that she also had talks with Nicola Sturgeon from the SNP as well. There was no actual indicative voting going on as far as Oliver Letwin was concerned, but there was plenty of legislation being talked about, rushed through, and in fact, one particular bill, which was voted through by a majority of just one, in which no deal was ruled out. Perversely, though, I'm reading this morning that it could be that because of the way that all kind of panned out, we may be more likely to have an accidental no deal, and we're going to find out what on earth that is all about. We're joined this morning, first up, by Nick Dakin, Labour MP for Scunthorpe. Nick, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the Tent of Shame.
Good morning, Mike. Thank good morning, you. Listeners.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. I'm terribly sorry about the rain.
Well, it's not your fault.
It's not. But can we blame
Can't
you for
even
it?
Can blame us
can
for that?
Can we blame you for it? Because, no. I mean, you're getting to blame for everything
That's
else.
That's the weather. We're all neutral on the weather.
Indeed. Now, today is a little bit of a sort of a what you might call a slow day, I suppose, in Parliament itself. There's not a lot of business going on. Some MPs have gone back to their constituencies to do a lot of the work that they haven't been able to do because they've been here so much. But is it correct? Is my, not my analysis, but the analysis that I read this morning, correct to say that because of the way we're kind of lurching from one end of a deal to another, that we could end up accidentally with no deal?
Well, anything can happen at the moment, and nobody knows what's going to happen. It's a complete mess. We've all got an obligation to try and get our way out of it.
Yes.
And that's hopefully what the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition will be focused on over the next few hours.
Yeah, and the teams of those two people are meeting today. I don't think they're actually meeting each other. Jeremy Corbyn yesterday said that it was useful, I think, the meeting, but not particularly conclusive. My suggestions yesterday were that surely what he's going to ask for are things that she can't give him. So they're kind of locked in this dance macabre, if you like.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're in a situation where everybody can't get what they want, so it's a time for some classic British compromise, and leaders have got to step up to the plate, and that's what everybody's expecting the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition to do. It's what's needed, and it's what needs to happen.
A couple of days ago, there was a lot of talk of consensus and compromise in this very tent, with lots of different MPs from different parties coming in, and for the first time for me, actually, saying those kinds of words. However, it's very difficult to judge which lines are going to be crossed, which you know, what least likely idea is going to emerge.
Well, sometimes you just have to think you know, outside the box, as people say, and we need some of that fleet of foot, nimble thinking. That's what we need from people now, and perhaps if that comes forward, something we need to get out of this. Everybody agrees on that. That's what all my constituents are telling me. They've got different solutions, as indeed have politicians. But it's time for, you know, the Prime Minister has the biggest responsibility of all. She's finally got round to doing something she should have done 2.5 years ago. But credit to her for finally doing that. And there's no reason why we can't get through this. You know, we've done absolutely amazing things as a country over the years. You know, getting out of this self-made muddle is not impossible.
I mean, what does look the most likely scenario in the short term, at least, is some kind of extension of Article 50, right? Which would be possibly, we were being hinted at yesterday, could be quite a long one. Could go into next year, could maybe even go 2 years into the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody wants a particularly long one, really. But if it's necessary to get us to the right place, then I think people will accept that. But first of all, the leadership of this country needs to determine where that right place is. And that's what I hope over the next few days becomes clear, and that we can all get behind that then, and we can get on with things. I mean, the things I've been doing this week is talking with cancer charities about how making sure we've got the right cancer workforce, talking about FE funding and making sure that we've got decent funding for our FE colleges so that our young people can get where they need to be, and talking about pancreatic cancer and the need to up our game in doing that. These are the sort of issues that my constituents are really concerned about. Mm. And we need to get back to the basics and get beyond the morass we're in. And that's what leadership is for, and that's what leaders are for.
And surely
that's our expectation.
And surely that is what the example would be, would it not, for both Theresa May and for Jeremy Corbyn, to be urged in a way by their own supporters, by their own MPs, to get on with it. The trouble is, though, Nick, as you well know, many people in both parties disagree about practically all of this.
There's strong views on all sides of the equation, but the odd thing is there's a lot of people across parties that generally agree with what you've just said, Mike. And, that common sense, that getting on with the job, that's what's got to come through now, and that's what I think we'll see.
And the other problem we've got, of course, is that outside of this building over here behind us, in this pouring, ghastly rain that we've got, the rest of the country is very divided as well. I mean, I was at a debate just the other night talking to a lot of people in a crowd of mostly Remainers in the audience, and they're very vitriolic about people who voted to leave. You know, there's an awful lot of sort of unforgiving talk that you hear, an awful lot of insults that you hear. You know, there's a kind of a snob value attached to people who wanted to remain in the European Union. I mean, I don't know how you fix that, to be honest, and I'm not sure that you can fix it from here.
It's our responsibility to fix it, and we've got to find a way of bringing the country back together. And for frankly, most people in my constituency, as I'm out and about or knocking on doors, leaving the European Union is not a top five issue for them. Getting on with their lives is the top five issue. The health service, education service, getting the roads sorted, they're the things they really care about. But we have got some people on both extremes of this argument who are frankly obsessed. They've drunk the Brexit potion, haven't they? And they've gone slightly mad. That's not to denigrate their points of view, but perhaps we're giving them too much airplay, and perhaps we need to listen to the common sense, solid citizens that are going about their daily business and just want us to get on with doing the job that we're being put there to
do. Well, that's right. I mean, I've been busy in this tent telling people that, you know, whatever happens here, you know, the world is not going to end. You know, your life is not going to be altered irrevocably whether we stay in the European Union or whether we leave. You know, some people are sort of seem intent on pointing out that, you know, we're all going to fall off a cliff edge. You know, the world is going to come to an end. You're not going to get any food. Your medicine's going to dry up. You won't be able to fly anywhere. You won't be able to go anywhere. We heard yesterday that you won't be able to carry a Cornish pasty with you if you cross over the border into France, you know, because of course everybody always takes a Cornish pasty with them when they go to France.
Do.
I mean, a bit of cheese. I mean, who knows? They don't have food in France, do they? So you have to take your own. It's ridiculous. It is totally bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sort of bonkers arguments have not been helpful. You know, however, there are genuine challenges if we get this wrong. And, if we get it wrong, it will cost some people their jobs, and it will cost some people things that they ought to get, you know, whether that's medicines or food at particular circumstances. So our responsibility is to get this right, and getting it right is very important, and that's the reason why it's proving to be so difficult. And
well, it is, because also everybody's definition of getting it right is different, and your definition of getting it right would be presumably a customs union. Your definition of being right would be I don't know if you want a second referendum or not. I think you have said that in the past. You know, lots of other people say that's absolutely wrong, we can't have that. So you know, how do you fix it?
I think you've got to work your way through it. I personally believe that a customs union is necessary to protect manufacturing areas like the one I represent and make sure the jobs and livelihoods of local people are properly, you know, protected going into the future. You know, other people have other views. In terms of going back for a third time, I like to count from the first referendum rather than the second one. So if we're going back to the people for the third time, we only need to do that if we're genuinely stuck. Now, it does begin to feel as if we might be genuinely stuck. Let's hope that the leaders, Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May, can sort this out. And then if they sort this out, we can move on in a positive way to the next chapter in the misery of this, this episode.
Well, because tragically,
it's a three-part episode.
Tragically, we know that even once we get past this bit of it, there's going to be an awful lot more of it, which hopefully will not be quite as painful as this. But a lot of people also say to me on this show that the business of politics is kind of broken at the moment as well, because they're seeing how you guys operate. And I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with the way that you've all operated, because that's the way you always operate. But because the scrutiny and the light has been shone onto the parliament and the parliamentary system, suddenly people are going, really? Is this how they do business? Is this what they do? You know, one minute they're saying, you know, this is the worst deal since, you know, we signed away Singapore, or we signed away Hong Kong. And the next minute, the same people who said that are now voting along with it. You know, it's a complex business. But I think also the fact that, for example, last night, as I said at the top of the show, one single MP was able to carry a victory for the people who want to have no deal. And that one single MP, and I know you can argue either way, is somebody with a criminal record who many believe should not even be in the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, well, there's processes in place to address those sort of things, as you know. I mean, we are classically, as people say, where we are, and we need to work our way through. We need to look forward. We need to learn from the difficulties. Now, you know, you can go back in history, you know, to the cartoons of Gilray, and politicians have never been terribly popular.
I don't think you've ever been more unpopular than this, though, as a collective.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the nature of the 24/7 scrutiny that everybody's under means that it's a very different world today to what it has been in the past. Now, there are pluses and minuses in that, but it's how we are. We have to be very accountable. You know, people have to be careful about what they say, and all of us need to be accountable to our constituents for how we carry out our responsibility on their behalf. And that, you know, ultimately, they have the right, you know, when we come up for election again, to give their verdict. And that's the strength of democracy. You know, democracy may not be brilliant, but it's the, you know, that's the best type of...
It's better than the alternatives.
It's better than the alternatives. And, you know, people get the politicians they deserve in a way, because it's about people. It's about that engagement with people, about working with politicians, about us trying our best. Best is not always good enough.
And what's the story with the sort of the word in the trenches, as it were, in there? Because I keep hearing conflicting stories about who wants an election, who doesn't want an election. You know, apparently the Tories are terrified of having an election, which I don't blame them for. Labour Party less so. But there's no real belief that anyone could win a massive majority in this country, because an awful lot of people are deserting the two main parties as well.
I think Brenda from Bristol got it right when she said, oh no, not another election. And I think that the public won't thank us if we end up going back to them again, you know, after a couple of years in another election. And another election may not solve the problem that we're facing. It may just deepen the agony. Mm. So what we have to do is roll our sleeves up, get behind our the leaders of both parties, and work together to find a way through something which is very challenging. But because it's challenging doesn't mean it can't be worked through.
No, well, there are those as well who say that Brexit has kind of redefined British politics in a way, because you're no longer now identified as a Labour or a Conservative voter. You're either a Leaver or you're a Remainer. And, I mean, that may last for a very long time, won't it?
I think that's only on the people who are, you know, as I say, have drunk the Brexit potion on either sides of the equation. I think most people are, although we're obsessed by this, most people, it's not making a significant impact on their daily lives. They're getting on with their lives. They're bringing up their children. They're going to work. They're managing. They're doing the holidays or whatever, and they're just getting on with things. And you know, that's how it is. And in our political bubble, we often think that the things we're obsessed with is what everybody else is, and that just isn't the case. Mm. And we need to have some sense of proportion. And part of that sense of proportion is realising our responsibility to those everyday people who are getting on with life, and we need to focus on them and deliver an outcome which allows them to carry on doing that in a proper way.
And what's the deal today then, Nick? What are you going to be doing today down here? Are there meetings being held? Is there a kind of an order paper being produced? Will there be debates going on?
There's
in
always
the
an order paper. Well, at the moment, I think it's the. It's questions on to the Secretary of State for leaving the European Union. So
yes.
Very pertinent. He's had a busy day, busy week, as Steve Barclay, doing his best.
Well, I always question it when I see that on the order paper, because I go, well, we're not leaving, are we? Are we? I mean, it's very possible that we're not going to be leaving for quite some time.
He's doing his best to get us there, isn't he? And then we've got an urgent question on the gender pay gap, which is quite an interesting thing. I was quite shocked to hear that. Universities, for instance, who you'd think would be in the forefront of, you know, getting things together and moving forward, have the widest gender pay gap.
There's a funny thing.
It's just unusual, that. And then I think
that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, actually, because the ones who shout the loudest are always the ones who don't like the light being shone inside their tent either.
Well, I hope the light's being shone on this tent as well.
Well, it is, but there are some corners. There are some corners of this particular tent that you might not wish to shine a light on, but that's another story altogether. Yesterday's sausage roll wrappers, etc.
Yeah, I see. Greg's wrapper.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as the Labour Party is concerned, and the Parliamentary Labour Party in particular, of which you're obviously a member, I mean, what are you collectively advising Jeremy Corbyn to tell him what it is that you want? Is he making out what he wants on his own? Whose side is he taking in all this?
Well, I think he's listening to the views from MPs across the party and from party members as well. So, yeah, I mean, and that's an ongoing process which is going on. So and Theresa May will be doing the same on her side.
But would you accept, for example, if he was to come back with a customs union but no confirmatory referendum, would you go for that?
Well, I mean, I think if they can get an agreement, our responsibility will be to get behind that agreement. But let's see if they can get an agreement first. I mean, I hope they can.
Yeah, well, let's see whether they can. Nick, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Mike.
MP for Scunthorpe, joining us in the Tent of Shame. Very, very wet and windy down here today. Bit of snow, bit of sleet, a bit of rain, bit of wind. Who knows? Maybe even some thunder coming later on. We'll tell you exactly what happens when it happens. But next, we want to hear from you. 0344 499 1000 is the number. What exactly do you want to happen next? This is Talk Radio.
Get up to the minute news flashes, instant reaction, and expert analysis.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. The Tent of Shame is still standing despite the inclement weather. It is pretty cold, by the way, for April. I thought it was supposed to be spring. I thought a new day was dawning. Stu says this at Talk Radio. Great caller just then, MG, talking complete sense. Like he said, what's the point of putting it to the people and then completely ignoring them? Well, you do wonder why they bothered. Tom says, the thing about public sector tax is that it comes from tax that has already been paid by business and the self-employed. Actually, anyone who is not a public sector employee. I have this argument with people all the time who work in the public sector. Because there are those on the Labour side of things who say, oh yeah, but we generate all this wealth by giving people jobs in the public sector. Well, actually, you don't generate any wealth by doing that, because all you can do is spend the money that the rest of the people in the society give you who have earned it privately. That's the problem. A fee says, if the EU is so wonderful, how come so many of their citizens are denied a say on being members of it? Why are confirmation referendums blocked? Why are they so hostile to countries that choose to leave? Where's the democracy? Who brought Article 13 to the debate? Interesting one, that. And Ian says, yesterday's vote one vote was 50.08% to 49.92%. Why was this instantly accepted, yet 52% to 48% isn't? Well, that's a very good question. Let's go to the phones, 0344 499 1000. Susan is in Exeter. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, Michael. Oh,
good morning. Haven't heard from you for a while, Susan. Are you all right?
No, I was missing you badly. I'm getting withdrawal symptoms. I need to talk to you every now
okay.
and again.
All right. Well, the withdrawal agreement is still up in the air, it has to be said.
No. Yeah. Well, everything's up in the air, Michael. Oh, my dear. Aren't we in a mess?
We certainly are.
I think we must have been, it must be in the biggest political mess we've ever been in our entire history.
It's not
so
good, is it?
Can this woman, I don't have an issue with women. I'm a woman myself.
Are you?
Well, yes. I've just
okay.
last minute. Hang on, I've just checked. Yeah, can we get rid of her? Can we put her out to grass?
No, we can't because
she does.
Well, hang
it
on.
It doesn't work, Michael.
No,
it's
I know
working.
That. Yes, I realise that, but here's the point. The Tory MPs, hang on, listen to me. The Tory MPs tried to get rid of her, right? And because they failed in their motion of no confidence, they now can't do it for another year. So we're stuck with her for another year minimum.
Look, that woman is totally out of touch with the people.
I know. Do you want a general election? What do you want?
No. Just for Christ's sake, can we go back to how it was? You're opening up a can of worms all the time. Every road you turn, you're opening up a can of worms. We've destabilised. Take it back to how it was.
Well, what do you mean how it was? What, you want to stay in the European Union now?
Well, yes, because it's all a mess.
We can't do that.
Out of it.
But we can't stay in it. We voted to leave it.
Well, we'll have another bloody vote, because I'm telling you, everybody will want to... No, Michael, no, don't laugh. It's not funny.
I am laughing. You can't have another bloody vote, as you put it, because that would be unconstitutional, unless people say they want another vote.
We need deep in it. What are we going to do?
It's a nightmare. I don't know what we're going to do. Listen, I normally have an answer for everything, as you know, Susan. I don't have an answer for this, okay?
I know you do. I know you do.
All right.
But what are we
going
to do about this?
No, I don't know.
No. So, listen, we need to... Look, if it... Basically, you know, I talk in basic terms. I left at school at 15. I didn't go to university like you. I'm not clever like you. And
you
I
are clever. Don't be so modest.
No. I appreciate your cleverness, but please, I'm looking at it from the general public's point of view. For Christ's sake, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
All right. Well, it is broke, so now we have to fix it. But listen, Susan, thank you very much indeed. Let's talk to Richard, who's in Manchester. Hi, Richard.
Oh, good morning, Mike. That was,
good morning.
That was very funny.
It was.
Can I go back to the beginning of all this when Gina Miller took that Soros money to take us to the biggest court?
Right. Well,
in
we
the
never
land.
Knew where the money came from, really, did we? It certainly came from somewhere.
Oh no, she admitted that. She admitted that on show on TV. That's she
oh,
took
she?
The money from Soros, and I think it was about £500,000 or something. Mm. Mike,
well, certainly
honestly,
an expensive legal challenge, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and she wouldn't have the money to do that anyway. So she was confronted about it. Even Lord Adonis, he confessed to taking money. And I heard the other night Farage was on the show with Blair's mouthpiece, and he confronted him about taking money from Soros. Did you take money? I think he asked him about four times. And in the end, he went, I haven't had a penny off Soros, you know, in the usual way. But anyway, getting back to what happened yesterday, it's all very, very exciting. We've lost a battle, but you never know. We might just win the war. I think that people like Yvette Cooper and the other Tiggers who actually stopped, who either won the vote, whichever way you are, or either won it or stopped it, and her and Amuna and Sarah Wollaston, I'm telling you, Mike, they're finished.
I think they are finished, yeah, because they're not going to be able to stand as independents and win against the two main parties of any constituency that I know of.
You're very, very wise. And Letwin taking over the government with a law from 1642. I mean, how ridiculous can you get?
I know, it is. I mean, it's a joke. It really is. It's now beyond a joke, actually, Richard. But listen, I've got to run. Appreciate your call, as ever. Do take care. Do keep listening as well, because we've got some great stuff coming up. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Lord McConnell, former First Minister of Scotland. We'll get his view on all manner of things, including what's going on in Scotland, what's happening with the SNP, whether they're going to have a second referendum, what he thinks about the whole Brexit debacle, what he thinks about all manner of things, including some of the other work that he's been getting on with as well. This is, of course, Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Now, there's an awful lot of sort of sound and fury going on behind me, but not very much action, really. So just to remember and to remind ourselves that there are other things going on in the world, I thought we'd get Jack McConnell down here, former First Minister of Scotland, now Lord McConnell. Jack, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Hope you don't mind me being so informal with you, because I know that you're not a man that stands on ceremony.
I think we may manage to be informal.
Exactly right. Well, welcome to the Tent of Shame. We've been here for a while. And nothing has really happened, and we're not sure anything is going to happen, so I thought we'd get you in to sort of talk us through.
It's a sort of tent of shame on the sort of district of shame, really.
It really is. It really is.
There's a lot of shame around.
And we'll come back to it at the end, perhaps, but let's talk about some other things that have been going on. You've been very, very much focused on Malawi for an awful lot of your political career, starting off when you were in Scotland, because of the ties between the two countries and all of that. They're suffering in a terrible way. I mean, it makes us and our problems pale into insignificance because of that terrible storm that they've got there. Have you been over there recently? Can you tell us what it's like over there?
I haven't been since the cyclone, what was that, two weeks
ago now?
But I was there 3 years ago, just after the last bad flooding. And there's an area in Malawi, in southern Malawi, which is very flat.
There's a massive lake, isn't there?
There's a massive lake. This is slightly sort of south-west of the lake, and it's very flat, and it's therefore very strong in agricultural produce because of the fact that it does retain water. But when the floods come, the floods devastate the area. And you combine the floods with the cyclone, and you've got devastation, roads destroyed, homes, villages completely blown away. But also, this year's agricultural produce blown away.
Well, that's it. I mean, looking at the pictures from the television that you see from time to time, there's a kind of... it looks as though the whole area has been destroyed. I mean, it's not only that people have been displaced, but there's literally nowhere for them to take cover at all, right?
Absolutely. And so there's an immediate need in terms of humanitarian support. It's a really good... DEC, Disasters Emergency Committee, appeal on at the moment. Raises, as ever, Brits are very generous, so it's raised a lot of money so far, but much more is needed. But they also need to, they need to get better at building stronger buildings and stronger roads, stronger infrastructure to withstand these events. And I had discussions last week with ministers here. I think the UK is going to try and step in and help in terms of the rebuilding to get stronger infrastructure that can withstand some of these problems in the future.
I mean, we hear an awful lot about the fact that China has moved in a massive way into Africa in terms of, sort of grabbing, I don't want to make that sound too aggressive, but sort of grabbing the mineral rights for this, that and the other, but also providing a bit of infrastructure in return. Are they doing that in that part of Africa or not really?
There's been a little bit in that part of Africa. It's been more... more noticeable in areas where there are significant oil reserves or mineral reserves or higher levels of economic activity. The area around about Malawi, Mozambique, Zambia, Zimbabwe, is this area is not the richest part of the world in terms of natural resources. And that's part of the problem.
And
it's inland, it's not near the ports. You know, it's difficult to transport even agricultural produce. But to do anything beyond agricultural produce is really difficult because of the terrain.
And as you were saying, it's good that Britain, certainly as a nation, gets together and gives money. But is it more difficult, without getting into the B word yet, is it more difficult to get anything done in Parliament and in Westminster at the moment just because of all this craziness?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, you've just got to forget about what's happening in here and get on with it. And I think, you know, I think the public are looking for other things to talk about. Everybody's sick, fed up with this nonsense. And this is an immediate need that people can address. And, you know, if people want cheered up this weekend, they should go and do some fundraising and make a donation. They'll feel better for it, and we'll save a few lives as well.
Yes, absolutely right. And, I mean, funnily enough, you and I first encountered each other, I suppose, more years ago than we care to remember, but it was probably about...
And what we used to think was a fairly chaotic reign
of
Parliament.
Well, do you remember when in those early halcyon days when people went, this will never work, you can't have your own Parliament in Scotland. Scotland.
Came up, and you can't have all these different small parties
yeah.
who are all going to cause factions and chaos. And you can't. And then you had five or six from the Scottish Socialists demonstrating inside the Parliament
yes.
during First Minister's
questions. Well, I signed one of them up as a columnist, I think,
exactly.
remember. But that didn't turn out too well.
I mean, it all seems very moderate and well-behaved compared yeah. to this nonsense.
Well, it here. Does. And, I mean, the whole. Also, the whole... I mean, you must have been watching with a bit of a wry smile when all the 56 SNP MPs got elected before they some then went back down to 35. Because, you know, here they were running in a Parliament which basically they don't want to exist or they don't want to be part of. It's all a bit odd, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think they're having dilemmas just now, aren't they? Because they
yeah.
they don't want any Brexit. They want second referendums, but they've also got to try and make some decisions about deals, and they've got themselves in a bit of a pickle.
I mean, could they ever? Could you ever foresee, if there was a general election, could you ever foresee the SNP and Labour forming some kind of coalition to govern Britain?
At the moment, I don't think you can say never to anything in here.
That's right. Yeah.
You could get any sort of combination happening in here yeah. at the moment. I can't see any formal relationship because ultimately the SNP would say themselves their objective is independence for Scotland. Mm. Almost every decision is based on the tactics of that
yeah.
effort, building support for that. So therefore, it's not a normal political relationship to have. When you have it's a bit like UKIP or the British Nationalists. If you've got a nationalist party, there's slightly different psychology to that than normal politics. Mm. Although at the moment here in Westminster, there's nothing normal about the psychology.
There isn't anything normal about it. And I mean, one of the interesting things that people now talk about a lot, particularly on social media, and I know that that's not always the best way to judge the way the nation is feeling, but there's an awful lot of disheartened people out there who say, what's the point in voting? What's the point of democracy? I mean, when you were involved in setting up the Scottish Parliament and being the first Minister of Scotland once it kind of settled down a bit, I mean, did you find people preferred more localised sort of decision-making and more... devolved government, I suppose.
I'm a little bit more doubtful now because I think the Scottish Parliament's a little bit stuck in treacle just now. It's struggling to, partly because of everything that's going on about Scottish independence and Brexit and so on. It's difficult for people to make progress on basic day-to-day issues. But I do think over the 20 years of the Scottish Parliament, having democracy a bit closer to the people has made politicians more responsible, reasonable, a bit more sensible, better behaved,
yes,
more transparent.
Yes, and I think so, because what we're seeing here is a lot of people saying, well, my MP isn't doing what I want them to do. But then again, there's other people who would say, well, yeah, but they have to represent everybody. And it might be that they're representing 48% of people who voted for this and 52% of people who voted for that. It's a tough job to be an MP today, isn't it? I'm going to get no sympathy.
You don't get any sympathy from me on that. Yeah. I regard it. So from the moment I was elected in 1999 to the Scottish Parliament, and certainly my 9 years here in the House of Lords, I regard it as an incredible privilege. I take it seriously. I don't think enough of the others do. And I think people, there's far too much people saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah.
I think the public can handle if somebody's got strong opinions, even if their opinions are different from the party, even if sometimes their opinions are different from the constituents. When I brought in the smoking ban in Scotland, I represented the constituency with the highest number of smokers in the country.
You'd be glad to know I've given up now, by the way. So you finally started a long journey for me.
I finally gave up
2 years ago.
You certainly were not persuaded at the time.
I was not happy about it at the time. It's cold in Scotland. I was standing outside pubs in the rain.
But people respected the fact that I had been open about it and had made a decision. And I think what people don't like is when politicians say one thing and do another. And there's far too much of that. It's rife, I think, through the system. Too much tactics, too much of decision making is based on, you know, what kind of political advantage can I get from this, rather than, I mean, it's easy to say the national interest, but rather than what's right in principle.
Yes. Well, a lot of them are hiding behind what's in the national interest, and they say they're doing something because it's in the national interest. You know very well that's actually not the reason they're doing it. But what about the proportional representation thing? You were saying, you know, the smaller parties, more of them in Scotland, you get a fairer kind of crack of the whip, I suppose. Could you see this Parliament behind us ever going down that road?
I've never been against proportional representation on principle. I think you have to accept, though, that it can lead sometimes to the sort of situation we have here today, which is this sort of indecision and chaos, because the political parties are smaller, there are more of them, and therefore you would end up with situations where there wasn't a national majority. And having a national majority does get things done.
Yeah.
But at the moment, given the chaos in the main political parties, There's no natural majority for either of them.
Well, that's it. I mean, you do have to reflect, I suppose, that if Theresa May hadn't had that second election, this could be a very different story. She might have had that. She'd have kept the majority she had. We wouldn't be doing this business with the DUP all the time, and, you know, who she's now apparently abandoned. And you'd have had it, we'd have left last Friday, you know.
I mean, if she... If she'd even just taken a week to organise it before she announced it.
Well, yeah, that would have helped.
I can't believe, on the day that she announced it, I thought it was a masterstroke, because I presumed that she'd spent 3 months planning it.
Yes.
And that she was going to seize the moment and have a quick campaign.
Yes.
Catch everybody by surprise, have a really well-organised effort, and come out the other end with a bigger majority. I can't believe that she didn't do any planning at all before she announced
Well,
it.
I mean, it's like the old adage, never ask a question you don't know the answer to. She didn't know the answer. I mean, that's the other thing, is that how David Cameron could have called the referendum with the belief in his mind that everyone was going to vote to remain in the EU. Even to think about leaving.
Well, there was an arrogance around the Scottish referendum the 2 years before.
Yeah.
I remember standing right on this green here, actually, the very senior Conservative, talking to Andrew Neil, of all people, and former Secretary of State for Scotland from the 1980s and 90s. And this senior Tory politician said to Andrew Neil, the Scots will never, ever get close to voting for independence. It will never, ever happen. Mm. And that level of arrogance in Scotland was replicated in the Brexit referendum.
Yeah.
From the day the Brexit referendum was announced, I thought there was going to be a tight contest, and I don't think those who were responsible for the campaign, in all parties, everybody's responsible for this, took it seriously and had a positive enough series of messages for the reasons to stay in. Arguing it simply on the basis of economic chaos was never going to win that campaign.
No, they're still doing it, of course.
They're still doing it.
One of the questions I get asked a lot from people is why are so many people in Westminster so keen on the European Union? Because for me, you know, I could be in it or out of it. I don't really care that much about it to become obsessed, although I'm starting to turn into one of those obsessives you hear about all the time who talk about nothing else. But, you know, I don't think that our lives in Britain will change irrevocably if we're in it or out of it at the end of the day. But why, I get asked all the time, are so many of what we might call the establishment politicians so in favour of it?
I think back in the day, you know, what, 30, 40 years ago, the politicians who were strongly in favour of the UK being in the EU and then the EU developing into something bigger than it had been had thought about it, and they'd thought about the nature of the world and the balance of power in the world and how Europe should pull together, both for peace but also for impact and power in the world. But I think what happened then was it became the norm. So people in all parties started to accept the idea that Britain should be in the European Union because we were in the European Union, and that's what everybody else thought.
Right.
And nobody was thinking about it. Nobody was re-justifying it for a new modern age. And I think that's really where the problem was. You had a generation of politicians who'd never had to think about it. And when they were,
it was just
and when they had to come up with an argument, the only thing they could come up with was that the world would fall apart the day afterwards.
Yes.
And of course it didn't.
No.
It just destroyed the credibility, I think, of their position.
Yeah, it really did. Well, listen, it was a delight talking to you. Nice to see you.
Always a pleasure.
And now that the weather's supposedly getting better,
we have a chat and the sun comes out.
Exactly right.
Always happens.
It's a very positive thing. Well, I keep saying to people, be positive. You know, you can get an awful lot more done by being positive than by being negative. So that's the message today from Lord McConnell.
Get up to the minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Tent of Shame. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham live from College Green in Westminster. It's still pretty cold down here for an April day. We're now getting heckled as well by Ken from Newcastle. Alistair Campbell's joined me in the Tent of Shame. He's now being heckled as if he's some kind of antichrist figure. Well, he remembered it at least.
I mean,
if you're going to get into politics, you want to be remembered for something. You know, at least it's not as if you're not like Ian Duncan Smith. Nobody remembers anything that he did.
The cough.
Apart from the quiet man.
The cough. They remember
that
the cough.
That wasn't good, yeah. Now, listen, I'm going to start things off here because you've already been on Talk Radio once today.
I couldn't
avoid seeing you down here. Why does Alistair Campbell keep coming on a radio show where probably 98% of listeners absolutely despise him, says Sean? Does he think he's going to win any of us over to the democracy-denying side?
Yes.
Do you? You've always been an optimist.
Yes, absolutely. No, I think this... Look, I think you probably do get the more angrier end of your listenership that phone in and tweet and text and
Not
what
really.
Have you.
Not really, no.
But I do think there is... there's a sort of centre of gravity on this debate that is moving. I really do think that.
I think there is. I mean, I said this the other day, that about 2 days ago, we had a lot of Labour MPs in here and one or two Tories, and the word that they were all using was consensus and compromise, and I hadn't actually heard that before in so many words. And so there's definitely, I think, a feeling, which has had Bob Seeley here as well, who just says that, you know, we feel as if we're moving towards something that everybody can agree on. It might not be something that everybody wants, but it has to really just now be done.
Well, but then, you know, the question then is what it is. And I still do think, I've said this for a long time, I do think this is going to end up in another referendum, because I just don't think Parliament can find a way through. This Jeremy Corbyn, Theresa May thing, that's not going to go anywhere.
No. Well, he's going to ask for a second referendum. She's going to say she can't give him that, and that's going to be the end of that.
Alternatively, she might say she could, but she'll have, you know, I'm hearing, for example, that they, you know, she wants him to rule out the possibility of a motion of no confidence, and that, well, he's not going to say that. And
right.
So I think the whole thing is a bit of a charade.
It is. I'll give you some encouragement, though, for your People's Vote campaign. I heard today that there's some suggestion, anyway, that there might be some on the hard right side of Brexit, you know, the ERG crowd, who still don't want to vote for Theresa May's deal, who may wish to join hands with the Labour Remainers and push for a second referendum, because they think they're going to win it. But they want no deal on the ballot paper.
I don't think it'd be no deal, but I think what it could be, because in the Parliament it's so clearly rejected, I'll tell you what it could be, though. I've been saying this for some time. I think the reason we're in this mess is because the Brexiteers never had an agreed plan as to what Brexit meant. So it could mean soft Brexit, hard Brexit, jobs first Brexit. They could all have these different labels. But if
sovereign
you actually,
Brexit, I heard the other day.
Oh, that's a nice one. That
yeah,
sounds
I like that
nice,
one.
Yeah. Is that Norwegian, like the Norwegian Sovereign
no,
Wealth
Fund?
No, it
just means taking back control to a place where they couldn't run a wealth stand.
Right, so some of them are backing a Prime Minister's plan where they're going to end up with less control.
Yeah.
But I think what they should, I've always said for some time now, she should step back from the process of player. She should become the referee. She steps out of her own. Her deal's dead. We all know that. On this side,
well, not necessarily.
Well, I think so. On this side, you have Remain. And on that side, you say to the Brexiteers, go away and come back with an agreed plan. And then we put these two to the people. A specific Brexit, hers having died. So, and I'd be up for that.
Except for the fact that the one that she's got, which you don't like, and which hardly anybody likes, is the one that Brussels has agreed. So what do you do with that?
Because if you go right back to the start of this process, Barnier, there was that little postcard, and he set out the different sort of, the different sorts of options that were negotiable. A Canada-style free trade deal, that is possible, but they have to agree that that's the Brexit they want to put.
As is the Norway one, as
absolutely.
Is the EFTA
so
one.
Absolutely.
There's
quite
a bit of support for that as well.
There is, but I think if I was an ERG person, I'd think, well, that's what's the point, Brexit? And I think that too. So I actually do think that there should be a real choice. I'm not one of those people who says it should be Theresa May's deal against Remain, because I can see how that's just a completely illegitimate prospect.
And I'm glad you've said that, because I think a lot of people feel that everybody who's asking for that simply is a closet Remainer, or maybe not such a closet Remainer.
I'm not.
They just don't want to leave.
I'm right out there.
No, I know you are. But you don't ever want to leave. But I'm glad you said that that is inappropriate.
No, I think the reason we're in the mess is because people like Boris Johnson are still pretending that Brexit can mean whatever we want it to mean.
Yeah.
And that continues to be a lie.
Yes. And it does, because unfortunately not one or two people agree on anything over there.
So you have to force them to agree.
But you have to force them to agree. So what about, for example, a long extension, which is more than likely to now be asked for and probably granted, where we just start the whole process again, but not from the point of view of having a second vote, but from the point of view of just starting the negotiation process again, and say to Parliament, right, get rid of Theresa May, find a new Prime Minister. If you want to have a general election in the meantime, there's time to do that. But let's do something about changing who's running it, because she clearly can't get anything over the line.
But I don't know about that. I mean, I think that...
Is that blowing up the house to fix the pipe?
Well, the only thing I'd say about that is I think that the Europeans have been incredibly patient with us, given how ridiculous we've become. Mm. And I'll tell you something else. The money that they have spent, businesses and governments, preparing for no deal, which she now sort of blithely says, basically, well, we're never going to do that. That
I mean, they'd give
happen.
It to us by this time, and they're so bored now. I think they would give us no deal. They've come out and said that we can have visa-free travel through Europe in the absence of in the instance of no
deal. I think some of them would, but I think the key people to me are Macron, Merkel, Tusk, three or four others. I think they still believe that it is best for the European Union if they find a way either of doing getting a good agreement, or we stay.
Yeah.
And if we stay, that can't just be MPs saying we're staying. I think that has to go back. And I don't believe an election delivers that, because I think the parties are so divided. I think it has to be a referendum where there's a form of Brexit that, you know, of course you can negotiate the detail around it, but it has to be. We know what the various options are. And this, of course, is the choice Theresa May's always ducked. She's tried to pretend to the Canadian people it can be Canada, yeah, to the Norwegian people it can be Norway. And that's not true. You have to confront
now
that
she's
choice.
Pretending to her party that she can go into business with a man who she's previously said is not fit for office.
It's incredible.
Which seems remarkable to me. I mean, talk about shooting yourself. I mean, she shot herself in the foot more times than she's got feet. Surely.
I know that's only two. Yeah, that's
I should have said toes.
Yeah,
I should have said
you
toes.
Could even have said hairs on her head.
I could have said that too. But, you know, so I make the odd mistake from time to time.
Yeah,
happens,
it's live radio.
You know?
It's live radio. Yeah, it's live you can't radio. Be perfect.
Listen, what I will tell you, though, is that I don't think that Remain is an option at all, because I ran and I said to him, you know, asked him what was going on. He said, look, if we don't leave now after all of this, we will be basically stooped. We didn't use that word, as a word like that, because forever we'll have to do everything they tell us, because if we try and say, well, we don't want to do that because that's not what we want to do, therefore we're going to vote against that, they'll just laugh at us and go, what are you going to do, leave? And then fall about laughing.
But I think I don't agree with that, because I'll tell you why. Because I think that what this whole kind of spasm, this explosion of nonsense that's going on, I think it's going to lead to a really big change in our culture and our politics. Now, that will either be we do become a little England nationalist out there, or we actually do become a fully fledged part of Europe and we start to lead in Europe the way that we should have done.
Well, why don't we say, well, all right, we'll take that as read and then say, for example, start properly reforming Europe, because
I agree.
Is in no way a proper organisation that you should want to be the current way that it's run.
Wait a minute. I think there are faults with it, as there are in any institution, but do not imagine that it's only the Brits who think there should be reform. And I think one of the reasons why...
Well, look what's happening in France.
Exactly. Look what's happening in Hungary. Look what's happening in Poland. Yeah. Look what's happening in parts of Germany. There are concerns about the direction of the European Union. So I think we should be part of that.
Yeah.
And I think we can be a big part of that. But only, obviously, if we make that leap.
And also, they have to make that leap too, though, don't they?
And I think they are. You see, the reason... one of the things... Look, I know the people in Europe, and I work with some of them. And I... The way
and they're
that,
still willing to talk to you.
They absolutely are, because they know that I'm on the right side of the angels on this one. But listen, I think that the way that their positions get misrepresented the whole time in the UK, this idea that Macron wants us out is nonsense. Macron's got, yes, he's got a big, much more pro-European vision than maybe a British government would have, but a lot of the reform that he's talking about, he needs the weight of Britain for that. Added to which, on the kind of security side of thing, the European Union without the UK is just massively enfeebled.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. And so you would think, by that token then, that they should have done more, surely, to make us want to stay in it.
I think they bent over backwards. Not with Cameron.
Didn't seem that way.
Not with Cameron they didn't, but I think with Theresa May they have. They've really, really tried to help her. And bear in mind, they've had a succession of negotiators, Johnson, Davis, these guys, going over there and basically abusing them. They have our media the whole time saying they're a bunch of this, that and the other. I think they've been amazingly patient, and they still want us there. Tusk is still, day after day, Tusk is making it clear he hopes this thing still doesn't happen. Yeah. And I think he's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's certainly not happening at the moment. We've got the countdown clock to when nothing happens. Nothing's happening today. Nothing will happen next week. Probably the week after that. But we shall see. Alistair Campbell, thank you very much indeed.
And thank you for not... I'm going to go make my peace with God.
Go make your peace with Ken. But also, thank you for not telling me that Tony Blair's a big fan.
No, he
like
told
he did
me
with
really
Julia
not.
Hartley,
really not.
Hartley
exactly.
Brewer,
no, it's just Julia.
Yeah, it's just Julia he likes.
I think it's a middle-aged woman thing.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Tony's just got...
I think she's a bit tall for him, actually, but that's another story.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1 Monday to Friday on Talk Radio via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.